We've been told countless times that everything changed on September 11th. The idea that everything changed, however, should make us deeply uneasy. Those such as the September 11th terrorists, who have nothing but contempt and hatred for our free and democratic society, would be only too happy to hear that everything has changed. The most important response to September 11th is not Bill C-36, which even with the new amendments, in my view, contains some provisions that are dangerous and others that are unnecessary. Rather, it's the increasingly robust democratic process, as well represented by each of you attending this meeting tonight, that is surrounding the bill. It is that process, not the contents of the bill, that best honors our democracy. I want to say a couple of things about Bill C-36. The first is the issue of the definition of terrorist activity. This is in many ways the most important part of the bill because everything hinges on it. The offenses, the investigative powers, taking away charitable status, everything hinges on how we define terrorist activity. The government should have thought, and the lawyers and the Department of Justice should have thought long and hard about how they would define terrorist activities. Unfortunately, they haven't. The first draft of Bill C-36, which was introduced, and the Minister of Justice proudly told us it was charter-proof and it had undergone the most scrutiny of any bill in the history of her tenure as Minister of Justice, would have defined as terrorist activities illegal protests, illegal strikes that disrupted essential public or private services, i.e., almost most protests and most strikes. In fact, this definition was so hideous that it was farther than was used in October of 1970 when the regulations were proclaimed in the middle of the night, and there, at least, you had to commit crimes. Under the original version of Bill C-36, if you broke a municipal bylaw, if you broke a provincial trespass law, if you broke a provincial labor relations law, and you were intentionally disrupting essential services, you were deemed a terrorist. Now, the minister has taken out the reference to illegalities. So now, if you're protesting and you are disrupting essential services, you can say, well, I fall within this protest, this exemption being for protests, stoppages of work, and advocacy. However, if you seriously damage public property or private property during your protest, during your strike, or if you endanger public health and safety, maybe a nurse's strike, there'll be other panelists that can speak to this, you can still be deemed a terrorist. I want to talk a little bit about some of the extraordinary police powers that are put into Bill C-36. For the first time, a person can be taken off the street and forced to speak in what is essentially a police investigation. You have no right of silence. You have no right against self-incrimination. You must speak. A judge must approve it first, and anything you say will not be used against you in certain proceedings or subsequent proceedings. But nevertheless, we've taken away the right to silence during police investigations with the investigative hearings. And the government's only response has been that this is going to be subject to a five-year sunset. Well, a five-year sunset's not going to do very much. The whole bill is going to be reviewed in 3 years' time. Does this mean that, in some ways, the most controversial part of the bill is going to last longer than the parliamentary review? Because in 3 years' time, we may find that these laws are not necessary or they are being abused. Another police power that's added in Bill C-36 is the power of preventive arrest. You can be arrested again on suspicion, not on reasonable probable grounds, on suspicion that you are going to commit a terrorist activity. There'll be some judicial involvement, but you can be held for 72 hours. Does the government really think that the sort of super terrorist suicide terrorist that we saw on September 11th is going to be deterred, is going to tell the truth at an investigative hearing, or is going to be dissuaded by a preventive arrest? There's a few other things I'd like to mention. The government, a member of the government, a Liberal MP, Irwin Cotler, called for an explicit non-discrimination clause in Bill C-36. For a member of Parliament who's not in the cabinet, I think he very courageously put this down in print in the Freedom of Security. And he recognized that many communities, and particularly Arab communities and communities of the Muslim faith, fear racial profiling. They fear targeting. So he recommended that there be an explicit non-discrimination clause in Bill C-36. He also said that there should be some, you know, enforcement mechanism with teeth. The Minister of Justice did not follow him. There is no non-discrimination provision in Bill C-36. There is nothing in Bill C-36 that addresses the evil of racial stereotyping, cultural stereotyping, and profile. And as the high school students that spoke to you earlier today demonstrated, there's precious little remedy that will happen when innocent people are caught within the dragnet of Bill C-36. The only reporting mechanisms is that the Attorney General will report and will tell us each year how many people have been scooped up under Bill C-36. But that's not the same as providing a remedy for people who are scooped up unjustly. So there are lots of problems that still remain in Bill C-36. And when the minister says that it's charter proof, you know, as a constitutional lawyer, as a criminal lawyer, she might actually have a point. But as citizens in this room, we shouldn't accept the minimum standards that the courts are going to enforce under the charter as the standards that we want from our government. We should ask more from our government than they do whatever a lawyer tells them is permissible to do. We should expect restraint from our government. We should expect leadership from our government. And the idea that passing a new criminal law will stop terrorism, or that we don't have preventive mechanisms in the existing criminal law, is frankly wrong. If we had known what the September 11th terrorists were up to, we could have arrested them. We could have arrested them for conspiracy to commit mass murder. We could have arrested them for attempting mass murder before they even got on the plane. So the idea that the criminal law as it existed was weak and could not combat terrorism is, in my view, wrong. Thank you very much.